Shalom, everybody. It's good to see you all. After Hanukkah, we received the light, we received and we witnessed an energy force that's going to take us through the month of Tevet, which is the month of judgment. It's a very difficult month. As a matter of fact, Ari HaKadosh says it's the month that defines the light of eyes. Now, eye is playing a very special role in our life. If you look at our face, we have two eyes, two ears, that makes it four, and two holes in our nose, that makes it six, and one hole in the mouth, that makes it seven. So we find the totality root of the world of seven, which we are living in the world of 7 days and seven seas and seven oceans and seven notes and seven colors and all seven. Totality is really bundled up in one sphere, in one circle, in we call it head. However, there is a tremendous difference between the mouth, nose, and ears. Because mouth, nose, and ears, they have holes. But eyes and the forehead, they don't have hole. They're different. The eye is kind of a no hole, but there is a lot of things going in and coming out, but no hole. It's kind of a going through a screen. So this eye can literally has a different purpose than the nose and the mouth and the ear, that they have hole in it. Ari HaKadosh, the Kabbalah, we understand that the light of eye, God has given for purpose of making kilkul. Kilkul, that means to create damage. The light of eye causes damage in our thoughts, in the truth. It conceals the truth. Our own eye. Eye is there to conceal the truth. I would like to review something that is extremely important and interim to discuss what imagination is. Why God has given us an energy force called imagination. We know that the human being is made of three parts. Three parts of a spiritual world that summarizes in a physical body. And the body is the inclusiveness of these three energy. First energy and the highest level of energy, and it is the energy that is outside of me and is the closest to the reality, to the truth. It's called neshama. That's my higher self. That neshama very, very, very clearly knows what is its purpose in this world. As a matter of fact, receives instruction, and this neshama doesn't have no other reason than to have the possibility to become closer to the Creator. Like a light of a candle. What the light of a candle seeks? Why it's all the time moves, and goes up the fire? It's to go back to the source. Why the child really goes to the bosom of mother? Because that's where it came from. So is the neshama within the human being that has only one purpose, has only one thought, has only one idea, is how can I create a vessel that allows me to become closer to my Creator. That's the neshama. That's my higher self. There is an extension to that neshama. It's called ruach, which we call soul. That ruach is like the wind, like avir, like the air. It moves. like a Gemini. Moves all the time. It's not steady. And it moves from above to below, above to below. It's a soldier. A soldier between the neshama and the body. And what sustains the body? What is the extension of this neshama that represents in my body? It's called nefesh, my life. And what is my life? It's in my blood. So that godliness aspect of my neshama is in my blood. You take my blood, you took my life, and I'm dead. That energy force called nefesh, which is in my body, is the energy of the animal within me. And it runs by the force of nature. Now, what is nature? Honestly, what is nature? There is a king. There is a force called nature. You cannot kid with it. You cannot disobey it. You cannot say, look, you are not going to dictate to me what to do. Try it. You can. Much more powerful than you and me. Runs the world. Runs the nature. Dictates, has rules. And by the way, absolutely doesn't care for any individual. Doesn't care. It's a lamb. Come on, it's a baby lamb. How a wolf takes it in 2 seconds, tears it apart. What are you doing? It's nature. The nature has only one rule. Continuity. To cause existence, no matter what. If it has to send a tsunami, half of the world, one continent, one city, 1 million people, 10 million people, irrelevant. If it is for cause of, sake of continuity and existence, good, bad, individual, this guy is a righteous, this guy is really a nice man, he's a good man, and a good father, and a lot of good thing, and a good mother, and irrelevant. That's the nature. That's called the management of nature. Now, you and me, we have to come to a conclusion that there is such a boss. We cannot fight it. It's the truth. We see it every day. We experience it every day. As soon as I recognize there is this power called nature, how is it going to affect me? You become more humble. But as soon as you forget there is such a management called nature, called Elohim, it says a name. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz. He's the creator, called Elohim, his name, we know. He runs the show. The nature is under his control. You go and buy 10 Lancome creams, still you're going to get lines. Go make triple plastic surgery. Still, you are going to look like an overblown balloon. Because that's the nature of the things. You cannot fight it. Accept the fact. Now, when we start with the nature, yes. What are you doing? exactly what God is telling you, the nature to do it. He says, the nature, look, if you put too much sodium in me and no potassium, you're going to have really a lot of problem. You're going to die. So you better take care of it so you balance everything in your body. That is your free will and up to your knowledge. If you don't seek it, if you don't know the nature of the things, if you don't ignore the nature is going to come up with a good accounting and it says, okay, pay time, and it's going to make you pay. It's very simple. You cannot avoid it. You cannot run away from it. When it catches you, it catches you. And by the way, it doesn't sit down and look at you and say, who is your mother, who is your father, whether you're a good girl or you're a good boy. Doesn't care. As a matter of fact, absolutely doesn't care. No individuality. It's not important. The important thing is that the totality to be into existence and continuity doesn't allow you, you and me, to interrupt this system. He says, okay, you are causing interruption. Poof! Something is going to happen in the nature and puts the course into the correct direction. It's a fact. We've seen it. There is enough history. So first I have to recognize that my being here in this world is under the ruleship of name, source, energy called Elohim. He's the boss. So let's start accepting there is a boss. Stronger than me. But God, you came out last week, Joseph, you told us that there was a fight between Yosef and Yehuda. Yehuda is the aspect of the heart. Yosef is the aspect of the head. Yehuda comes and says, look, there is a management by emotion. Yosef comes, he says, no, it's not only a matter of emotion, it got to be a brain into it too, a knowledge of godliness into it too. Yehuda says, look, the only way I can take care of this heart of mine, because as soon as this heart wants something, acts like a zonah. Now remember this word zonah. Nothing wrong with it. Yes, literal translation means prostitute. Come on, let's be honest. How much for body pleasure? How far do we go? How much we are ready to sell? What's the price? That's the first step of being honest. That we act like a zonah for sake of pleasure. Either it's the pleasure of having money, name, power, wealth. Am I ready for sake of acquiring wealth to sell my soul? That's a very American literature. Daniel Webster and Jebbestone sold his soul. Are we ready to sell our soul? We do. For what sake? Pleasure. And under this way of existence, I am under the rule of nature. Nature will take care of me. I'm automatically taken care of. As long as the nature is balanced, I continue. As soon as I cause the imbalance in the nature, immediately nature judges me. Immediately.
You cause that?
I cause it. Absolutely. Can you expect to eat something that's not good for you? Eat it. If you have allergy, for example, to milk, your nature cannot take milk. Now, can you say to your body, it says, hey, I'm telling you, I want to have milk. I don't care if you are going to be itchy, michy, lochy, whatever. Drink. How are you going to what do you think is going to happen? You end up in the hospital. Correct? Who caused it?
You did.
I did. Oh, but who made me to have allergy? Who made it? My creator, whoever the creator is. But why? Because the world of nature doesn't care for individualities. Your purpose is to learn something, accept your limitation, take care of your limitation, obey the limitation. If you don't obey the limitation, I'm going to let you have it. Period. And I don't care who's your father. And how much money you got? That's nature. Correct? Because somebody is multi-billionaire by sitting on a wheelchair, and who put him on the wheelchair? His money. Can his money take him out of the wheelchair? Okay, let's understand this fact. Yehuda comes and tells, he says, look, this world is the world of pain. The more you go into physical world, the more you're going to like the physical world, and you're going to be buried in the physical world. So you know what? Avoid physical world. Don't go and have physical world, because you get addicted to physical world. You're going to get addicted to the pleasure of physical world. Yosef says, no, you got to have the physical world. But you have to have a spiritual pleasure as well in the physical world. If you don't have pleasure in this physical world, but a spiritual pleasure, you're going to give up. You're going to give up. So Yosef comes and gives us and fights with Yehuda on the aspect that one has to have in his life a spiritual pleasure. Now, how do I get a spiritual pleasure? What is a spiritual pleasure? Who can define for me what is spiritual pleasure? Huh?
Being close to God.
Being close to God. That means I recognize that God is in detail taking care of my life. He's involved in my life.
But you just said that nature doesn't care about
it. Yeah. That means that I am telling you that there is another type of a management. One management is the management of the dome, which is the nature. And I'm under the dome. I'm under the planets. I'm under the stars. What the stars write, what the nature says, it goes irrelevant of who I am privately. There's no private relationship. But God said, okay. Now, did you understand there is no private relationship? It could be a management of collective management, irrelevant of what you do. If you do 10 million good things every day, and one guy doesn't do no good things all his life, you are judged and taken care of exactly the same. When there is a fire, both of you are in the fire. The energy doesn't come and say, oh, Papa, this guy is doing 100 good things a day. Take him out of the fire. The nature says, hey, they come dime a dozen. Don't worry. If you get burned, you know what? The tree is going to, after 2-3 years, again rejuvenate. Don't worry. He goes to the dust. He comes back from the dust. That's what the nature says. And one has to recognize this. I don't need to get sick really to recognize that, hey, I'm not a big man, and I know I can, with a small virus that I cannot see with my own eyes, he can put me down. Just a small virus. As a matter of fact, one small virus can dictate all my future life. It's nature. So Yosef comes and says, look, no, there is another management in this world. I says, what's the management? It's, don't go after what your eyes shows you. Ignore what your eyes tells you, because your eyes is there to take you to the world of Kilkul, to the world that is not complete, that a world that is, has pagam, has something wrong with it. His eyes. So he says, what is that world? What that management? There is a management that is a personal one-to-one relation called Hashgacha Prati. That means individual connection to the source. Everything that I do, mida keneged mida, that means whatever seed I plant, I will eat the fruit of it. It's a cause and effect. Good calculation. I am good, I'm rewarded. I'm bad, I'm punished. One-to-one relation. And that hanaga, that management is available. And I'm proud to say, and I don't have no fear to say, that this management is only specifically for energy force called Israel. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about you. And I'm not talking about whose mother is a Jew. Any individual, any soul, any neshama that submits to the rule and 613 mitzvot of the Torah and accepts and brings Torah in one's life and implements and keeps and remembers the ruleship of Torah within his life to the best of his ability, immediately is taken under the management of one-to-one with the Creator. That means everything you do, everything you taste, everything you see, every action, every reaction in your life, you know is God is involved with you. Recognizing this involvement of God and you together, one-to-one relationship is the highest level of joy one can have in his life. Is to recognize that God has accepted me and taken me from the hospices of generality and brought me to the under the domain of one-to-one relationship. Yes, please. All the time. Continuously. Yes. Why I brought first this aspect of nature so much to you? Because every one of you have experienced this force of nature in your life. Come on, when your heart is on fire, what do? Honestly, when your heart desires something, what do? Can you avoid it? Can you sit down and give yourself the biggest logic that is not good for you to do it? No. So if I go with the heart and the feeling, I can get into trouble. I can. This is what Yosef says. So he says, what am I supposed to do? Because God is not really, honestly, if we are the brainiers of the brain with the IQ of 260, psh, genius, we can scan the Torah and know the Torah from A to Z, highest level of knowledge, do you think we got it all? No? Okay. God knows that? The Creator knows that? Yes, He knows. There is no end to it. The knowledge, the knowledge, there is no end to it. I keep on going. The beauty of that knowledge is that I keep on going and still there is there more. There is no getting bored. That's as far as acquiring the knowledge. So God is interested in my inchy-binchy brain, 250 gram. That's what He's interested, that I am capable only to use 4% of it and not more. That's what God sent me down here. To make my 6% capacity into 20% capacity and say, bravo, you increased it 5 times more? Not at all. God is interested in my emotions. about the truth. God wants me to make love to him. Literally. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavecha. It's loving him with all your heart. Because you recognize there is nobody, nothing else that you can depend on. The only way is to establish a one-to-one relation with the Creator. That recognition is the first step of maturity. That recognition is the first step of maturity. And if I avoid this first step, I will dangling in the nowhere time under the dome of nature. I'm going to come from the dust and go back to the dust, empty stomach. So God created in Israel. Said the way life cannot be. Just a moment. Didn't God created all the animals in the world? Wasn't he the creator? Why he didn't give them a choice? That does really, monkey gets up in the morning and thinks, okay, now I got to go to business today. Am I going to make the money or not? Am I going to really have money enough to pay my rent? He worries whether he's going to get married or not get married, or whether he's going to have enough money for the wedding, or what kind of area code he has. But we realize that no, the animals, they don't have none of those problems. As a matter of fact, they are directly controlled with the nature. They work under the energy force of instinct, and they act like an instinct, and God created a computer for them that they write and act at the right time, at the right place, and in case they are missed the point, too bad, they are lunch for somebody else. And which is okay, no problem. But God said, no, there is another way that a man can really decide and choose the free will. And come under an umbrella and create a one-to-one relation. A one-to-one relation. He says, how am I going to establish this relation? It's the moment that you give up about the animal within you and you understand that the animal is there to do the work of the soul. Not the soul to do the work of the animal. Or what that means. That means I say, okay, what is the characteristic of my soul? What my soul wants? The soul? No. The animal, the nefesh, says, how many ways can I enjoy thee? Boom! Just give it to me. I don't care. I have to eat, and go vomit and eat again. I'll do it. What should I do in order to enjoy myself? And I am sure all of you are old enough to know that mankind have gone through zillion crazy ideas just to enjoy. Including cutting themselves, including beating themselves, including doing a whole lot of crazy things. Just to increase the pleasure a little bit more. Correct? That's the nefesh. Now what is the soul? The soul is not access of the body. The body is the clothes. The body is a vessel. The body is the instrument. The soul only has one thing to implement in this world, is to implement Ratzon Lashpia. Look, I come to this world of limitation. I come from the world of unlimited. I am coming from the world of light. I am coming into a prison in the body. I am going to accept the pain in this world because this world has pain, because I got to coexist with nature. You think it's easy to lose hair and be bald? You think it's easy when you don't feel anymore your knees work? You cannot do what you were able to do one day? You think it's easy to have an idea to go to cemetery and see, wow, those worms really, they eat a lot of filet mignons and a whole lot of goody foods. You think it's easy? You think to come to this world is easy? Every one of you, if you have responsibility in your life, any, you know, is responsibility, accepting responsibility is painful. It's not without pain. It's not for free. If you accept responsibility, unless you say, you know what, I want an easy way out. If I have to steal, I steal. That's Esav. If I have to lie, I lie. If I have to kill, I kill. But the point is, I mean, to reach the goal. I mean, who cares how you reached it? That's not how the Israel that the Torah defines is defined. Now this energy force called Israel, it only can come if accepts to do the work of the soul, not the work of the animal. But just the opposite. Takes the soul and teaches the animal to follow the work of the soul. Which means what? I have to keep the animal happy, because Yosef said there must be pleasure in this world. So that means go after the physical world. Go and be rich. Go and have a good car. Go and have a good home. Go and have a good business. Go and have a lot of money. Go and have a good clothes. But understand, what is the purpose of those pleasures? But understand, what is your goal and purpose in this world? Understand, the forces are in action. You cannot fool anybody. You cannot live with lies. You cannot steal and be still on their one-to-one relation with God. Because God is going to notice you once. And if your receiver doesn't work very well, once and twice he's going to leave you because you have a free will. God is not the enforcer. Because when he wants to enforce it, gives you to the enforcer. He judges you, and per judgment puts you in the enforcer. It still keeps the one-to-one relation until such a time that you give up. Until such a time that God recognizes in your heart you do not recognize God. And such a time that in your heart you recognize, you know what? You make fun out of God. He said, how can I make fun out of God? It's very simple. I look at this tefillin, and I say, this is ridiculous. I put a box on my head. This is really funny. God never said that. As soon as I start making fun of God, of the mitzvot of God, the stories of the Torah, the chokhmah of the creation, I say, you know what, God? I know you are God. Because that's what Esav says. I know you are God. But you know, I don't have time with you. I'm busy right now. Let me go enjoy myself and experience it myself. God says, no problem. Put you under the dome. Put you where there is no one-to-one relation until such a time you accept to come into the umbrella of one-to-one relation, which is one thing. Not for fun. Not pick and choose. Very simple. I accept the Torah, and I accept the rules and the mitzvot of Torah. Now, last time, we explained that there is four seeds for Keter, for crown God has given into this world. The purpose of coming to this world is to create a good vessel. My vessel is the name that I make for myself. They call you Reuben. They call you Moshe. They call you Isaac. Whatever your name is, it's your vessel. Is it a good name? When they call you your name, do you represent a good name? A bad name? Do you carry bad tags on you or good tags? That's the most important seed. Is that I want to go back to my Creator when I have relation one-to-one. If you go and you work for somebody and you establish not a good name with your boss, when you go to ask for a raise, what the boss is going to tell you? I mean, could it be more simpler than that? And if I want to have a good relation, a good established a one-to-one relation with my God, and if I don't have created a good name, a good daughter, I'm not a good daughter, I'm not a good son, I'm not a good father, I'm not a good wife, I'm not a good friend, I'm not a good person, my name has some crookedness in it. Even though they call me Isaac, but I, you know what? I distorted the name Isaac. I distorted the name Yosef. Yosef is a tzaddik, but I brought ugliness to that righteousness. So the first purpose is to create the name, good name for myself. And we said, in order to go in the route of creating good name, I have to start as Yaakov started, which is from the Ekev, from below to above. From below to above. It's very important. I don't want to say, go to somewhere to work, you say, they say, okay, you are starting this profession. Have you been ever a manager? No. Have you been doing this? No. That? No. But you know what? Give me the corner office. And I want two side view. It doesn't go. You don't get the corner office just because you said so. So he says, start from Yaakov. Start from the bottom of the pit. And work yourself up. He says, in order to work myself up, he says, Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. You have to accept a keter, another crown for yourself. And that's the crown of Yosef, which is Torah and Mitzvot. It's called Keter Torah. Which means, when I put this keter of Torah on my head, my eyes, my ears, my nose, and my mouth, every hole in my body is there only to execute the truth of the Torah. That's it. I don't go and ask, Torah, are you correct or not correct? I have the right to ask why. But I don't doubt in the truthness of Torah. Because I cannot prove God is there, and I cannot prove God is not there. I accept the fact that Torah is emet, God is emet, and the person called Moshe that brought the Torah is emet. That's, for me, established. And therefore, I walk the walk of the Emet, which is, that is the energy of Netzach, that's energy of Moshe, that takes me to Nitzchiut. What is Nitzchiut? Eternity. Now, what is this world of eternity? How much of God is in you? How much is that spark? Is it infinite? How much is a spark? How long lasts a spark? Really? So we practically we are nothing. You know how many like us have gone and gone already? And there are not even a comma in the history? How many of us? So it's not the number at all. But there is a little bit of spark of godliness in me is to have a limited time, like a battery, to come do certain work. And like the spark goes away, we go away. Like we never been around. Out of sight, out of mind, completely. So, he says, how can I get in the limited body the totality of God? Because God is infinite. How can I have in a limited body an infinite amount of energy? Impossible. So, God says, for that reason, I am not going to reward you for all the good deeds that you do in this world, because this world is limited. If I want to give more of me within you, you have to become unlimited. You know what? Do all the work in the limited world until you reach a world called Nitzchiut, eternity. That world of eternity is the only place that I can give your reward, which is infinite. So in the world of finite, I cannot reward you. You have to do the work to reach the world of eternity, which is Netzach Nitzchiyut, in order for me to give you the reward of all the work that you have done. The only instrument, the only philosophy, the only work, the only book, the only wisdom that takes me to this world of Nitzchiyut, eternity, is Keter of Torah. However, as soon as I accept the Torah, I accept another Keter. It's called Keter of Kohanut. Now, what is this Kohen? What is this characteristic of this Kohen? The character of Kohen is defined by the first Kohen Gadol called Aharon. What was the characteristic of Aharon? Ohev Shalom, Rodef Shalom. That means the only thing this Kohen wanted ever is to love Shalom, which is peace, which is completeness. That means I did not accept half work done. I want complete Shalom. When are we going to have peace? Oh, Mashiach come. That's correct. But when am I going to feel peace within me? Which means?
We see God in
the... When you are satiated, when you don't have any more desires, all your desires are fulfilled, you are in peace. For as long as you have desires, you're not going to be in peace. That's right. Exactly. Remember that. I can only tap into it for a second and then move. That's the whole idea of this creation. I gotta go close to him. Then he says, don't stick around here. Don't feel comfortable that here is goody-goody with me to stay in Baba's house. Go to work! He sends me out. I'm supposed to go up to work and then come back and tap a little bit of energy, again, feel him, say, okay, good. Now run and work. And then Ratzu, Shavu, Ratzu, day, night, day, every moment, every second, and there is no end to it. Until I reach eternity. But what is the characteristic of Yosef? What is the letter in Hebrew represent six? Vav. What is the secret of Vav? Emet. Ahava. Because me and you, the Vav, it brings unification, connection. So this Vav is six, right? And what is the highest level of vessel? Hovaya, Yudke, Vavke. Six times Hovaya becomes 156. Yosef is six times 26. That's why he's Sadiq. Yosef did not consider himself to be the king. His existence was for his brothers. His existence was that his brother come to Egypt, live like king, and go out with tremendous amount of wealth. And that's what he did for the rest of the brothers. So Yosef is the energy that prepares me to bring the Torah within me, so I can reach the world of eternity called Netzach. But not through of selfishness, but through what? Having a ratzon, lashpia, to share. To be for the others. That is when we want to go under the umbrella and rulership of prati, one-to-one, with Hashem. Now, he says, when you have keter of Torah, when you have keter of kohanut, that means a spirituality, ohev shalom, rodev shalom, that means, God, I don't want to leave this world without not completing my task. Who is ready to go out of here to come back again? You want to go through age of puberty again and have a lot of pimples? You want to really look for again getting married? I swear, it's once to get married is enough. You don't want to do it twice. I don't know how they, before they did with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wives. It's a very difficult task. It's a 24-hour job. It's not easy. So I really don't want to come back. But see, I got to be careful. This is a very dangerous statement I'm making. Because God said, okay, you want to finish it this time? You know how much things you have to learn overnight? I might not be able to handle it. So what am I going to say? God, really, I would like to really finish it this time, but help me to do it with rahmanut, with mercy, really. Don't beat me up! But take me slowly. But God, I want to do what potentially I can do. I want to do it. And I want to be the best of what I am supposed to be. Do you tell yourself that? Now, why I brought this? Because I need your imagination. We are lazy. We don't imagine. And because we always look for a comfort zone, we only imagine about things that gives me immediate gratifications. Because you cannot move your finger unless first you imagine. And then you form how you want to move your finger. And then you inform the formation. You do a painting. The brain does a painting. Gives it to heart. He says, look, I want you, as per my drawing, to move your finger. Who orders the heart? The heart doesn't have eyes. The heart uses the eyes of the head. And the head sees, translates, make a drawing, gives it to heart. That's exactly what Yosef did. Yosef draw the map for the brothers to go the route in order to reach the destination is to receive the Torah. He said, you want the Torah? This is the drawing. Now, that's why God gave you and me imagination. But what do we use this imagination for? Come on. Digging deep into your pocket. Really, what have you been using this imagination for? Be honest. Absolutely. Oh, Saturday night. What are you going to wear? That's step one of imagination. And he said, oh, I want to wear. Who am I going to meet? Or what do I want to meet? Am I not using my imagination? Am I not giving drawings to my heart? And my heart says, yeah, you know those color coordination. Yeah, give me more drawings. Yeah, draw me the what you want to look like, and I give you the colors. Slowly, everything is okay in this world. Everything is okay. It depends where do we want to end up. So the heart, the mind is going to give me a drawing, and God gave me an imagination to be able to make the best of the best of the drawings. Now, honestly, have your imagination taken you to a wrong alley? Sometimes. I'm happy with sometimes. I want you to face reality. God gave you the most powerful thing because as soon as you imagine, you are not in the world of physicality, you are outside of the world of physicality. Because imagine you are in Rome right now, right by the Spanish steps. How long it took you to go there? No time. So imagination? Yes, 2 seconds. Not even a second. No time. So that imagination can take me to a domain that is no time. Remember, the relation, one-to-one relation with God, is no time. God doesn't look at the watch. Okay, 1 hour pay, please, $250 is enough. With God relation, there is no time aspect. So God gave me that imagination to tap into a zone called no time. What's the purpose of imagination? And what's the purpose of my heart making the formation? How can I imagine in a frame that I won't go wrong? I won't give wrong drawings to my heart. Imagine if GM makes a little bit mistake in a drawing and sends it to the factory, all the cars come out what? How do you think they call back cars? Because somebody recalls, because somebody made a mistake somewhere in the drawings. So something went cockeyed. Me and you, we continuously do this mistake. So how can I? Because sof ma'aseh b'machsheva techila. That means there is no action, that prior the action you don't think. You don't imagine. There is no such a thing. I want to go to the bathroom. First I imagine and then I go to the bathroom. Otherwise I won't move. I won't go to the refrigerator unless I imagine what I'm going to eat. And when I imagine for that sake, I'm going to go to the refrigerator. Correct? So I want to correct and I want to put this imagination into a proper perspective. I don't want this imagination fool me. I sit down and say, you know what? I'm going to buy 10 eggs and these 10 eggs, I'm going to go and sell it in the other village, and in the other village I'm going to make the money. I'm going to buy a cow with the money and I'm going to take the cow and I'm going to go to the other village that they don't have cow, and I'm going to sell the car and I'm going to buy a bus, and from the bus I'm going to put a lot of people. What am I doing? How many times we are imagining we are making good businesses and we sit down and we do all the planning and all the formations, and when we come into actual work, flap! Just enough, go and see how many bankruptcy there is. Just enough, look at how many failures in marriages is. How do you think the marriage fails? Because both of them sat down on the wrong imagination. The other guy thought that she's the queen of Sheba and he thought that he's the Hercules. And both of them were wrong. Wrong imagination. Yes, please. Imagination is the ingredients element of your thoughts. Develops your thoughts. Gives formation to your thoughts. Your thoughts gets form and goes forward through your imagination. And who sends this imagination to you? Your higher self. For what purpose? For you to give definition to your imagination. Start with correct thought. Start with the correct formation. Put things in a proper perspective. But whose perspective? Who's the judge? Because if you are under the dome, wasting your time, the dome dictates what the situation is. If the people of the world, they are good, quantum consciousness is positive, the nature works properly. If the quantum consciousness is cockeyed, the nature is going to go cockeyed on you. It's very simple. But I want to go out of the domain of nature. I want to go in the domain of one-to-one relation. One-to-one relation, that means I have to change my attitude. My imagination, way of imagination. What am I supposed to have? Imagine that everything that I do has one purpose and one goal. To unite me with my Creator. To bring me closer to my Creator. Avoid using my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, my hands for any purpose other than bring me closer to the Creator. The moment that you are ready to lie, who taught you to lie? Your imagination. The moment you steal, who taught you? Is your animal teaching you to steal because it's more easier? Lie, kill, avoid God? Who tells you not to believe in God? Who told you to put God on hold? How many of us we have put God on hold? And we are now carrying out other conversation on the phone. How much of God do we put on hold? How much time of my life is devoted to God and how much of it is devoted to my love of myself? I give you an example. I am here only to bring out the harsh aspect of being a human. And then recognize how good it is to be an Israel. And I'm talking about the energy force Israel that Torah defines, not the society defines. Torah says, have an aspect of sharing in your life. It says, okay, how can I show this sharing? It says, how much money do you make? Because money is very dear to everybody here. Is anybody here doesn't like money? Huh? Okay. Now God says that, you know what? I don't want you give everything you make to me for my sake. I want you to enjoy what you made. How about 10%? How about 10%? Guys, 10%. Not 90%, 10%. Now check out. Have you given 10%? Have you given 10% of yourself to God? Have you given 10% of your money to God? Have you given 10% of your time to God? Have you given 10% of your imagination to God? Have you given 10% of your heart to God? If the answer is yes, you are aware that God exists. You are aware God exists. You might not do everything good, but you accept His existence. And that's the first hurdle. That's why this month is the month that the walls of Jerusalem broke. And what is the wall of Jerusalem represents? What's the wall of Jerusalem represents? Come on, when you go to Jerusalem, you stand in front of the wall. What you are represents. Your hope. Your future. Your relation with God. That's what the walls, and this wall is broken this month. Because this is a very material world. Capricorn is a very materialistic energy. It's capable to use the material world in perfection. That's the characteristic of Capricorn. But the Capricorn has to realize that I don't use this physical world for purpose of myself, but for the purpose of the others. As soon as Yosef became tzaddik, Egypt was a very poor country. Very poor country. But as soon as Yosef became the king and the tzaddik became the king of the most poorest country in the world, all the richness of the world came to Egypt. Wasn't the money in the world that did not come to Egypt? Egypt became the richest country in the whole world. Became an empire. And as soon as we see in the next parasha, that as soon as Egypt became powerful physically, Melech Hadash, a new king, came into existence, did not recognize Yosef. That means did not recognize, now that I have the money, now that I have the power, now that I made it, I don't recognize God anymore. I made it. I don't need Him. What do you want? I have everything. I can have everything. I don't need Him. And He says, beware. Beware. to trust yourself that can cross you to the road, cross you to the destination. It's a pitfall that all of us, unfortunately, we fall. So it is important for me to ask and to recognize how much of a sharing I have with my world. How much of me I devote to God. I'm glad that you guys are sitting down here and coming and you want to learn the Torah. You're giving time. You are. You can be proud of it. But it's only good if you apply it in your life. With the small things. Small. To recognize I have a capability, God blessed me with certain profits. I'm here to share it. That's the aspect of Yosef. Yosef is in every one of us. Imagine, Yosef brought all these difficulties to his brothers, forced them to bring them to recognize that the management of the world is midah keneged midah. Whatever you have done, you're going to pay for it. Brought step by step all the brothers. And then the moment that the Yehuda came, and Midrash says, this is it. I cannot face my father not to do what I promised him to do. I promised my father, I promised my future life, my existence, that I'm going to return Benjamin to Jacob. So what it takes? I become Joseph, you're a slave, I become your slave. I have to kill you, I'll kill you. But what I promised, I'm going to execute. And when Yosef recognize Yehuda, which is the Keter of Malchut, which is King David, comes from the seed of Yehuda. As soon as Yosef, which is Keter of Torah, recognized the commitment of Yehuda, you know what he said? Just one word. Ani Yosef. Imagine. 10 brothers, they were grueled so long. Back and forth. They went to God and said, God, what have we done? We accept the fact we sinned. And imagine that 1 second, all that hardship, all the pain that the brothers went in 1 second with one word, finished. As soon as Yosef said, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. I'm your brother. It was not your doing to send me to Egypt. I was supposed to come to Egypt. You only executed as a righteous brother what God wanted you to do. Don't blame yourself for what you did, because what you did is correct. Imagine. This was Yosef that they throw into the hole with scorpions and snakes, and the brothers sat down by the hole and they start eating, and they didn't send even a piece of bread for the brother. He cried, he said, please don't sell me. They sold him for nothing. This is what this significance the Torah wants to teach us, that we are ready to sell our future for nothing. How long it takes to lose my life? How long it takes to lose my future? How long it takes for me to do something and end up in a doghouse? How much it takes? For nothing. They sold the brother for 20 cents. 20 cents. Equivalent to today's money. 20 cents. Enough money to go to Foot Locker's sale and buy the cheapest shoes. And still we do it. We lose all our future because we don't know better for nothing. For nothing. Because I want to enjoy it now. Don't bother me. I'm eating. Don't bother me, I am eating. God, don't bother me, I am having fun. Don't shake the boat. Let me be. Don't tell me do this, do that, do this, do this, do that. Don't tell me. I want to do everything I want. That's doing it for nothing. And Yosef is the emet and the truth within us that tells us your purpose is to do the work of soul, not the work of animal. You sit on the donkey. You don't put the donkey on your back. When you borrow money, for whom do you work? For the bank. It's impossible for a purpose, for a person to owe money, pay interest, and make money. That's why the Torah says a Jew does not take interest and does not give interest. Doesn't give interest? You borrow. You don't give interest, you don't take interest. I know that in all history we went for remedies how to do the money in order. Torah specifically says it has a reason. I don't want to have money. Somebody else sweat, and I benefit from it, and I do nothing. Listen, the reason it says do not take interest, it's very simple, defines the idea. The idea is somebody else has to go sweat, not only earn money for his own self and all own family, has to work 10, 15, 20% extra, cut from his son, cut is from his family in order to make you money and you do nothing. So my money is working for me. What do you mean your money is working for you? You are supposed to work. Not your money. That's recognizing what is this material world is. Yes, please. Give me an example.
A bank gives you money to buy a house.
Right.
Gives you money to start a business.
Right.
It is bank interest, but the bank is giving you opportunity to go into business.
Right.
To provide a better life for your family.
Explain to me. What is the best honest business in the United States of America? How much profit it makes? Really? 200%? You're dreaming. The best business gives you honest, gives you a profit, bottom line profit. More than 10%? It's correct? 10% if you have done perfect. If you make 10% profit. Oh yeah, there are some people, look, I make one deal, I make $200,000, I make 200%. I buy one container for $40,000, I sell it for $200,000. What are you talking about? I make more money. You don't consider the overheads. Forget it. You're a very smart businessman. You make 10%. Honest. Now, if you make 10% and you gotta go 15% interest to give to the bank, are you becoming a slave to the bank? Because you don't give the 15% first to the bank, you're not gonna take your 10% home. First, you gotta give the bank. So, who's working for who? I'm not free anymore. I'm a slave. For many, many years in Israel, you couldn't borrow money and buy land. You had cash, you buy the land. You don't have cash, don't buy it. Everything COD. Cash upon delivery. Easier. But we don't believe it because we are greedy. The greed. We believe greed is good. They make a movie and they say greed is good. And you're young, you realize, you say, well, yeah, greed is good. Why not? If you're not greedy, you're not going to make it. So you got to be greedy. That's when I'm giving to the animal. But if I'm content that I'm going to build my life slowly, step by step, accept the fact that I have to work hard, I'll make it. I'll make it. To the point we have reached, my friends, That is the idea of the society, that honestly, if you become an honest businessman, you will not become rich. Don't we say that? Don't we say that? What are we saying? We accepting the solution is not to be honest. Forget it, I'm not going to be honest either. Look how far we have come. And if I start with my business, I do the same with my wife, and I do the same thing with my kids, and I do the same thing with my friends. Because I based my being on falsehood. Not sincerity, not honesty. Next question. We are creatures of habits. We get into habit very quickly. God, nature, has put habitual instinct within us. But not to fair purpose of becoming habitual to the physical world. As much as I'm ready to work for the physical world and acquire things in the physical world, I have to be able to detach myself from that physical world at any moment. That means I'm in control. If I am, for example, I buy a nice chair, very antique, very beautiful, very well made, and then I put a party to invite people. Why? Because I have nice, I want everybody to enjoy from. And there is a kid, his finger is full of jam and peanut butter, goes on my white satin chair, and demolishes all the chairs. Now, how do I react? Kill the kid. I didn't say it. Fact is that the chair becomes for that instant that piece of material, that will die. It's no important. I'm not going to take it to the next world. I'm going to leave it here. Caused me to accept to beat up a kid. See, you stupid. He said, I know. Of course he didn't mean it. So, we are, if the habit is given to the physical world, and I think the conclusion is for me to acquire more and more and more and more, that's a wrong habit. Your statement is false. You don't know. If you knew, then you would have taken care of it. The point is you don't know. You don't believe it. You believe it is good. Because knowledge, it comes through experience. Knowledge comes through action. Knowledge is not a mental trip. Knowledge is you have found out that if you submit to the I want this, and I want this, and if they steal it from me, or if it gets destroyed, or I lose it, my life becomes so bad that I am ready to scream. Now, where do we get this lesson? Torah. It says, Yehuda's wife died. That's the last parasha. Yehuda's wife died. And he's alone. He's a young man. He's a very powerful person. He's active. He's still, come on. He loves to have relations, so he goes to a trip, and you know, when they go to a trip, they feel lonely, and he goes in the road, and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, knows that he's coming this route, he's on a trip, he's lonely, he wants to have a partner somewhere, so she stands on his way. I don't want to go to detail of this story. There is three things at those time are represents the standing of a man. It was the chagura, that means the belt that the man had on, his ring, and his cane. Three things represents his statue, physical statue, material world. stature. So she says, okay, what do I get for it? He says, look, I'm going to send you money. He says, no. Here is no on credit. What are you going to give me? Yudah says, well, what am I going to give? He says, I don't have money. He says, well, too bad. What do you got to give me? Give me something to guarantee. Nobody gives. He says, okay, take my cane. Oh, not enough. Okay, more guarantee. Here, take the ring. Oh, not enough. Okay, take the belt off too. Take the belt off too.
All three
he gave. Now listen. The relation, it says, the Torah says that they consume, and there is a baby. And they come to Yehuda and say, Yehuda, you know what? Your daughter-in-law, that this husband died just recently, she's pregnant. And not by the husband, by the way. She says, yeah, is that the case? Okay, bring her and you have to kill her. Stone her. Tamar says, no problem. But prior you stoned me, let me talk to you for 2 seconds. And Yehuda says, yeah, what do you want to say? What do you got to say for yourself? He says, like, I want to show you 3 things. There is a cane here, and there is a ring here, and there is a belt here. Would you tell me, do you recognize this, by the way? Now, she uses the same word that Yehuda used for his father that took the clothes of Yosef and killed the lamb, poured the blood on the clothes of Yosef, and took the clothes of Yosef to his father. He says, you know, we found this clothes, and he knew very well what this clothes is. Do you recognize this, Daddy? Now Tamar came. He says, Mr. Yehuda, do you recognize who made the baby? You made the baby. Yehuda worked long, long life to establish his kingship. That is true that out of that consume that night, Mashiach comes. That's the wondering. Because when Yehuda and Tamar, they got together, came the baby, and through the baby came the Mashiach. Good question. Come on, the marriage was not a real marriage. It's a bigger story here. It's a very difficult story. But it says, what is the whole question? Sometimes God, through the most mysterious, unseenable truth, bless you, brings the truth. The Satan will not go around Tamar and Yehuda in these circumstances to interfere the consumption. The consuming of this seed. Because, he says, well, this is illegal anyway. This is mine anyway. Let me go after the people who are in the holy state. Let me tap into their energy. They feel they are holy. The moment that they think they are holy, I'm going to get them at that moment. Yehuda and Tamar are doing really the no-no that they are supposed to. They are mine anyway. God especially did this. So that seed to be left alone. Concealed it from the eyes of the Satan. In order to bring the Mashiach to this destination. The seed. Because Satan, one place will not look. Something that was not brought up in the Kedusha at all. Because the light comes out of darkness. And that's exactly, it was the absolute darkness that the root came out, root of Moavi, in the Moav, which is from the same seed. And overnight, recognized the truth. The absolute, the totality. That's the best time that my mind doesn't make sense. But because it's the word of God and because it is God, I recognize that I got to do it. Why? I don't know. It's the word of God. That's... Yes, but that consciousness somebody has to be a chariot of. There must be a chariot. Oh, yes. Kedusha comes out of Tameh, right. Kedusha comes out of Tameh. Kedusha comes out of Tameh. Light comes out of darkness. How bad I am? How bad? Still, goodness can come out of it. That's the beauty.
So how do you explain that every day that you have to do the right thing? You're saying that Yosef says to the brothers,
yeah,
whatever you did, the wrong thing that you did to me actually was planned by God.
That's correct.
Okay, so how do you, as a person, that you always have to do the right thing? Why can't you just do the wrong thing? Maybe something good comes out of it. No, seriously.
Bravo. No matter who you are, whatever you do, the nature and the course of God will continue and go the way it has to go. That's in the global. But individually, you're going to be responsible for your action. I cannot distort the way of God. I cannot do something that never the light of Hashem to be not to revealed. I cannot. Anything I'll do to distort it, it will end up to be good as far as God's way is concerned. But because I did wrong individually, I'll pay for it. It's always like this. We don't intend to do something good, but God gets goodness for someone else. That's why he says, the Rasha cooks and Tzaddik eats. The Rasha, that means... How do you call Russia?
Evil.
The wicked. He cooks. He does everything. But at the end, the Tzaddik is going to benefit from it. That's the way of God. That's the meaning of light coming out of darkness. That's the meaning of Kedusha comes out of Tameh. If there is no Tameh, if there is no Klipa, you cannot get the Nitzutz, the spark out. You need the Klipa in order to be able to free the Nitzutz. Otherwise, it won't work. You need the body in order to carry the soul. You need to conceal in order to reveal. That's the paradox. Yes, please.
So God is also in control of the Sakha, right?
Everything.
So he tells him what to do.
Exactly.
Would
you ask me the question? There is nothing in the world that God doesn't know and does not aware and is not involved with it. Remember that. There's nothing around here goes on his own. Everything God is aware and God, Ratzon, desire is in there, otherwise it won't happen. Let's understand this. However, there is one purpose to this creation and it's called free will. If God does not put the darkness and doesn't put the light, how are you going to choose? If God doesn't put the Satan and then doesn't put a Malach, Michael, how are you going to choose? If there is not good and the bad, how are you going to choose? There is only one purpose left for you and me. It's to take the good out of the bad. To convert the bad into good. That's my work. To convert the bad into good. To convert the dark into light. Where there is dark, I want to bring light. When there is Tameh, I want to bring Kedusha. When there is Ra, Mar, bitter, I want to bring sweetness. If there is no joy, I want to bring joy. If there is no smile, I want to bring... If there is no light, I want to put out the light. That's the choice I can make. And God looks at me, not only the choice that I make, how much of my heart I put into it. 10%? Start with 10%. Start with 10%. But what are you talking about? I worked for this money. I sweat on this money. You know how much I work for this? I'm getting minimum wages. You want me to give still 10%? If you free yourself from that, then you are okay. And calculate to the penny. You make $1,000, $100 every month. $100. And no questions. No question asked. Are you going to drink this money I'm going to give you? Never mind. Never mind. The moment that you will ready to give up this physical world, to see what's the purpose of this physical world, to recognize this purpose of this physical world, you start becoming winner. But if you think that the conclusion of being is to acquire more physical world, you're going to leave it here anyway. You're not going to take it. You know, by the way, when we are coming to this world, the hand is like this. When we go out of this world, they force the hand open. They really, because the guy is frozen already. They force it open. And, there is a ring, gold. Oh, they take the ring out too. Now, go. That's the visa. Nothing. Come on, my ring! No, take the ring out, yes.
I know the 10% that you use as an example is for tzedakah, for charity.
No, that's not tzedakah. 10% is not tzedakah. This is a maaser. Simple. It's a maaser. It's my part of contribution. It's not tzedakah. Tzedakah is something else completely different. To start with.
Okay.
To start with.
That's my question. Because it seems the 613 laws are just much more than 10%. It seems like 20, 30, 40%
of... Okay, be honest with me. Tomorrow do the following. Keep a count. During 24 hours, how much of it you give to yourself, for yourself, for your own pleasure? And how much of it you give to God's pleasure? Make a calculation. No, God wants to see how much you have a power of rejection of your pleasure. God wants to see how much will you have. Very simple. How much you want it? You give it up for sake of others, like Yosef did. No question asked. And you know what? By the way, I don't expect anything back. I love to give. It's pleasure. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I want to do it without anybody know I'm doing it. Because I don't do it because anybody to tell me bravo, and I don't want them to make a placard and put it on the wall. None of the above. It's just part of me starting to put the 10%. When I calculate every day I make money, do I calculate every day how much money I make? You better believe it, you do. So every day calculate 10% out. No exception. Oh, Jan, you know, I gotta pay, I gotta pay for the schools, I have to pay interest, and I have to pay taxes, and you know, my wife wants an fur coat now. What am I gonna do? If I give 10%, I'm not gonna make it! That's the doubt. That's the doubt comes in. But it's only 10%. 90% is yours. And you think I'm kidding? Tomorrow, take a piece of paper with you. Every special event that you go through, hourly or half an hour, and make a marking for yourself. How much of it is for your meal, for I, me and myself? How much of it is for Hashem? Make a calculation. You will be surprised. If you hit the 1%, be happy. If you hit the
1%. Is that 10% of the
goal? Oh, here we go. That's a real businessman. After taxes or before taxes? After expenses, and I said, I got a car, I got to pay $1,500 per month.
No, single or married?
A single or married?
No,
it's not IRS.
You sell something.
Yeah.
You sell it for $100.
Listen, at the end of the cash register, you open it. You started with $400. You put back the $400, the rest is yours. You take it. Right? 10%. 10%. You started 400. Right now you have 800, 900, 400 in the kitty as it we started, 500 you took home, 10%. That's the deal.
Hashem makes more than me.
How do you think he became Hashem? He certainly makes more than all of us. Yes. Excuse me. Let me tell you in this how smart the whole system is. A man had children. 5 children are sitting with him. And he had 5 hard-boiled eggs. And he sees all the sons are hungry sitting around him and looking at the 5 eggs. And he read the mind. He says, everybody says, well, we are 6 of us, there is 5 of us and 1 father, and there are only 5 eggs, and I'm bloody hungry. I don't know how he's going to divide these 5 into 6. So father became smart. He says, you know, guys, you are my son. I love you. 1 egg for you, 1 egg for you, 1 egg for you, 1 egg for you. Please start eating, enjoying yourself. I sat down and looked at his children. I said, Papa, Dad, what about you? Oh, no, it's not mommy, it's not important. As long as you guys are happy. He said, that's something? Oh, whatever you want to give me. But Dad, here, you take me a quarter from me. No, Dad, get a half from me. Oh, no, Dad, at the end, who ate more? Be a dad to everybody. Be a yourself to everybody. Don't let the heart fool you that, look, if you give, you don't have it. It's yours. This is all baloney. 10% No. That's why it says Keter Torah, accept the crown of Torah. That means you see, you hear, you smell, you say, you feel. You go the way of Torah. It's easier. It's by far much easier when you do it. But the eyes tells me, and I told you what's the difference, the eyes. I said, this one has a hole. This one has a hole. The ears has a hole. It's a tunnel from ear to ear. But the eyes, they don't have a hole. They have a curtain in front. You put these. Right now they have even, they make different colors too. Different curtains they make. Trust me. This is fooling the instrument. That's why he says, "Lota turu acharei levavchem einechem." Don't go after your heart and your eyes. What the eyes got to the heart? Because the heart doesn't have an eye. The window of the heart is your eyes. And the heart sees, the heart desires. And boy, when the heart desires, you're at the mercy. Finish. Done. You're ready to sell the soul. Now, guys, there is no end to my pleasure talking to you guys. Because most of you stand here with such an amount of attention that I get goose pimples. Really. Because it is good to be with you. And I mean it. It's a pleasure to be with all of you. Especially, there is only one shake hand, it's for Torah. This guy don't know nothing. But, here we go. Exam number one. Everybody has a moment of weakness and fall. Everybody experiences a time that goes and says, I need help. It's beautiful that always you are in a position that you can be a cause to help rather than to be effect of help. There is a man with us, and I invited him. I usually don't. It's unless there is a point that I see there is a point. That has gone through a very unfortunate part of life, losing a child. With tremendous amount of expenses that he has to, even though he works, he has to make up. If there is a way, any of you, doesn't make any amount, for you to help the person is from Israel, we know him, has been here, any amount that you can help this person, do not hesitate. help the person. There is a table there. Just leave it on the table.
Do we have to do it tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, because the person has to leave tomorrow to Israel. I wish you good health, good wealth, happiness, a lot of smile, a lot of joy. Shalom al-Kol Israel.